Iran and Israel, two of the most explosive hot zones on the planet. We'll talk about it today on The Hot Zone.
This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
So I've got my friend Eric Stackelbeck on with us today to talk about what's going on in Israel. Eric, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about your program on TBN.
Chuck, great to be with you, my friend. The show is called The Watchman. Now, it's on TBN every Friday night, 10:30 Eastern. And what we're doing, Chuck, is we're getting on the ground in Israel and in the Middle East, and we're bringing the inside story to you of why we here in America should care about what happens over there, thousands of miles away. Not only Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the shared national security threats that the U.S. and Israel share, but also history, biblical archaeology. It's kind of fun. You know, I get a chance to put on my Indiana Jones hat once in a while, and I'll be in these 2,000-year-old caves from the time of Jesus underneath Jerusalem. So we're doing a lot of fun stuff every Friday night, 10:30 Eastern on TBN.
Sounds like a blast. So let's talk a little bit about what's been going on over the last couple of weeks in Israel. We've had over 700 rockets fired last weekend into Israel from Gaza. And of course, the retaliation from Israel taking out targets inside Gaza. What's your take on all that?
You know, Chuck, when we look at this latest barrage from Hamas, I see the Iranian regime's fingerprints all over it. When we talk about the chaos and the terror that spread across the Middle East, it's always going back to the head of the snake. And that is Iran. Hamas is one of Iran's proxies, meaning Iran funds and arms Hamas, not only Hamas, Chuck, in Gaza, but Palestinian Islamic Jihad, another very vicious, deadly, and dangerous terror group there in that tiny enclave hugging the Mediterranean coast. So Iran right now is feeling the heat. U.S. sanctions are biting. They're having the desired effect. The Trump administration has put those tough sanctions back on. The Iranian economy is reeling. And they are trying to divert attention. They're diverting attention of their own people, number one, away from that horrible economy, which is in shambles right now. And the best way for them to do that is to up the ante, so to speak. And it really feels like things are coming to a head because this is a situation for Israel which is unacceptable. You can't live like this with hundreds of rockets raining down on your civilians on a regular basis.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, let's talk for a minute about what happened this last week with the U.S. military scrambling some naval forces over to that region in response to some sort of unnamed threats from Iran about attacking American interests. What do you know about that?
Yeah, Chuck, this is very interesting. You know, the report was, or some reports emerging about this, were that the U.S. officials believe that the Iranian regime may have been transporting ballistic missiles by boat. Now, what the destination of those missiles was, we don't know. What the use of them would be, we don't know. But I can say one thing for certainty. They did not have gentle and pleasant intentions in transporting these ballistic missiles, Chuck. This is a major problem because the Iranian regime, I think back to that disastrous Iran nuclear deal, which thankfully the United States pulled out of last year. In that nuclear deal in 2015, Chuck, the Iranian regime's ballistic missile program was not on the table, which was astounding. They have one of the largest ballistic missile stockpiles in the entire Middle East. They're working on intercontinental ballistic missiles, which could one day reach the U.S., God forbid. But if they're transporting ballistic missiles, if these reports are correct, then who knows how they would use them, maybe against U.S. troops in the region. So I think it's very wise of the Trump administration to have that show of force. And, you know, Chuck, really, this is the first time in 40 years that the Iranian regime has really felt the heat. They have acted with impunity throughout the Middle East, spreading terror, spreading chaos. And now they finally have an administration here in the U.S. that's holding them accountable and turning up the heat. And I think it's a great thing to see.
Well, let's talk about the Iranian crescent, as they call it, going into Syria. You know, now that ISIS has been routed out of there, the Iranians have designs on that part of the world, trying to create that land bridge between Tehran and Lebanon. What do you think are the chances that Israel is going to allow something like that to happen?
Those chances are zero, Chuck. Unlike some, the Israelis actually keep their red lines, and they have said that an Iranian entrenchment in the Golan Heights in Syria is an absolute no-go. And you make a good point, Chuck. Look, Iran right now, that regime, they effectively control four Arab capitals. You think of Baghdad in Iraq, Sana'a in Yemen, Damascus in Syria, Beirut in Lebanon. They're basically Iranian satellites. And what Iran has declared they're going to do is establish a permanent foothold in Syria at Israel's doorstep. Now, they already have the partial foothold in Gaza with Hamas, which we discussed, but they also have a permanent foothold in southern Lebanon, which is also at Israel's northern doorstep through Hezbollah. We talk about proxies. Yes, there's Hamas and Islamic Jihad, but Hezbollah, Chuck, is Iran's most powerful proxy. They're not just a terror group. They are a terrorist army. They're a paramilitary unit, tens of thousands of well-trained troops, some 150,000 rockets and missiles pointed at every inch of Israel, and an external terror operation, which has struck even right here in the Western Hemisphere. So what Iran is trying to do is encircle Israel. Israel, remember, is the size of the state of New Jersey. So they've had many head-to-head battles with Iranian forces over the past year alone, Chuck, where Israel says, no way will we let you establish a terror base in the Golan Heights, that vitally strategic mountainous area that separates Israel and Syria. Iran is determined to stay there and create a perch there from which they can strike Israel. Israel's saying no way. And that's why I think, Chuck, war is not a question of if, but when. I think there's a great northern war coming, I guess you could call it that, with Hezbollah, Iran, and Israel saying no more. We can't let you do this.
Well, I think back to the sort of undercover operation that happened back during the last Bush administration when Iran took out Syria's nuclear reactor that they had built secretly to create a nuclear weapon. And I've been reading a book about it. The Israelis went to the United States. They let them know what they had as far as intelligence was concerned, hoping the United States would do something about it. In the end, I think, Israel's red line was a lot shorter than the United States red line because of that very reason. It's an existential threat for them. And so they ended up taking it out. What do you think is going to be the upshot of Iran and Russia and Hezbollah and Turkey all vying for this region just north of Israel now inside Syria?
Yeah, I think we see some of the world's most dangerous actors gathered in one place, Chuck, and they're all right at Israel's doorstep. An interesting thing here is that Iran, Russia, and Turkey, who are the three major players there in Syria, they have this strange alliance right now. Over the past 2 years, on several occasions, Chuck, we've seen Vladimir Putin, President Erdogan of Turkey, President Rouhani of Iran, meeting together in various capitals, literally raising their arms together in victory. That's what the video and the photograph show. So these three nasty players and Turkey, a so-called NATO ally, I count them today among the nasty players with Erdogan, who is a radical Islamist of the Muslim Brotherhood strain, who is viciously anti-Israel, who's turning Turkey away from the West. These three have a very rosy relationship right now, Chuck, which, as you know, historically, they were usually in previous centuries at each other's throats there. But now they have this strange alliance in 2019. None of this bodes well for Israel. Russia is in Syria to stay. Iran says it's going to be in Syria to stay, but that's a red line for Israel. And I'm sure Turkey wants a chunk of Syria as well. None of this bodes well for Israel at the end of the day. You mentioned that Syrian nuclear reactor, Chuck, that Israel took out in 2007. Imagine if the Assad regime had weapons of mass destruction right now. Look, they do have, they did have a biological chemical weapon stockpile. They were trying to develop nuclear weapons until Israel took that reactor out. In 1981, Saddam Hussein was trying to develop nuclear weapons until Israel took it out. In 2019, the Iranian regime is also trying to develop nuclear weapons and the intercontinental ballistic missiles, again, to deliver them far beyond the Middle East. And who knows if Israel, once again, will be forced to act to take out that threat and kind of serve as the first line of defense for the West in that regard.
Well, we saw a really limp-wristed and feckless response by the Obama administration to all these threats. And that, I think, contributed to the getting us to the point where we are today as far as the danger goes and the risk goes for Israel. How do you think the Trump administration's response so far has affected that? And what do you think that they should do in the future in order to sort of put the sort of dilute the threat.
Yeah. I think it's been a very welcome sea change, Chuck, from the days of the Obama administration, which was, like you said, feckless, which literally delivered billions of dollars in cash in pallets under the cover of night by airplane to the Iranian regime and rewarded them for terror. Trump administration, to my mind, has taken a great stance so far in the Middle East and against the Iranian regime. Number one, the Trump administration said to Israel, we'll let you go. Do what you got to do. Do what you need to do to eliminate these threats and protect your people. Wow. No hands tied behind their back. For the first time in decades, Israel doesn't have that situation. They can act freely against these gathering threats at their borders. Number two, the Trump administration has been very clear, both in deed and action, that they realize that Iran is a sworn enemy of the United States, that the Iranian regime is not going to suddenly change its spots and become a moderate, reasonable actor. There's no gray areas here. Sometimes evil is evil. This regime, these mullahs who are oppressing their people, who are carrying out terror attacks across the world, this is an evil bunch. The Trump administration knows exactly what it is dealing with. I think the great hope here, Chuck, is that the Trump administration continues to turn up the heat with sanctions against the Iranian regime. Remember, they even designated the Revolutionary Guards in Iran, which are the real power brokers in that regime. The Trump administration designated them as a terror organization, another big diplomatic move there. The ultimate hope, I think, is that the Iranian people rise up and rid themselves of this regime. We saw 1 million Iranians in the street 10 years ago, Chuck. We're coming up on the 10-year anniversary, 2009, against this regime. The regime brutally put that down. By the way, President Obama, that was a tear down this wall moment where he could have stepped up and got behind the voices of democracy in Iran. Instead, he said that he didn't want to meddle. So he didn't say a thing as the regime put the clamps on its people. The hope is that the Iranian people can rise up and overthrow this regime once and for all, especially as the economy craters, the people get very restless and they want change.
Yeah, well, it's obvious that that culture respects strength. They respect the strong horse. And when we project that kind of strength, they're going to toe the line. I mean, if we can choke them out with sanctions, then hopefully we'll never have to bomb them out. And I think that's the tack that the Trump administration is taking right now. How is Trump continuing to be received and his policies continuing to be received among the Israelis when you're there and you talk to them?
I'd say by and large, he's beloved among the Israeli public, Chuck. Not only at the government level, he obviously has a great relationship with Prime Minister Netanyahu, but the Israeli people, and the Israeli society is turning to the right more and more because it's common sense. They understand the threats. People are waking up, especially the young people in Israel, but it's a society that's turning to the right, and they appreciate President Trump because they understand that he values Israel's security. The capital he built up with the Israeli people, Chuck, in moving the embassy to Jerusalem cannot be underestimated. And the list goes on, recognizing Israeli sovereignty over that crucial Golan Heights region just a few weeks ago, a major diplomatic move that which sent a bold message to the world that, again, America stands with Israel. There is no quote unquote daylight now between the U.S. and Israel, where under the Obama administration, Israel was literally abandoned. In the final days of the Obama administration, UN votes viciously anti-Israel resolutions. The Obama administration could have stepped in and stopped them. Instead, they abstained. You won't see that from the Trump administration. Judging by what we've seen so far, Chuck, and I don't say this lightly, this is the most pro-Israel U.S. administration in American history since the days at least of Harry Truman, who recognized the state of Israel. So this alliance is stronger than ever, to my mind, and thankfully, because America and Israel share the same enemies, the same threats. So it's just plain common sense that we work together.
Yeah, without a doubt, they're our best friends in that region. So what do you have coming up for your shows and the trips and visits you have planned for Israel coming up soon?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We were just on the Dead Sea, Chuck. This is pretty amazing stuff. The only boat operating on the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, as everyone knows, is dead. It's a salty, salty sea. One of the wonders of the world, but nothing can live in there. We took a boat ride across the Dead Sea. We saw, number one, how the waters are receding. It's kind of an ecological crisis there, Chuck. But now that the waters are lower, it's revealing these amazing formations in the Dead Sea. Not only that, we have sinkholes forming along the shores of the Dead Sea, where there's actual vegetation and even some fish have been spotted, not in the Dead Sea, but along that shoreline. So in a weird way, it's almost like the Dead Sea is coming to life. So that's next Friday, May 17th. We have some shows coming up from the Golan border, the Lebanon border on Hezbollah. So about 75% of the show is filmed on the ground in the Middle East. So good stuff coming up Friday nights, 10:30 p.m. Eastern on TBN.
Fantastic. Well, I encourage all of our viewers to go watch that. And I hope to hear from you again soon. Thanks for your time today. And that's a really illuminating coming from an expert on the region. So I really appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. Anytime.
All right, folks, that's it for today on The Hot Zone. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you again tomorrow. I'm Chuck Holt.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.